Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer. Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 294 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Chris Jordan, your host here, pouring a tall, cold one, because it is highly needed after a long day. Finally back at gigs again. Welcome everyone. Yeah, tonight we will be talking about election coverage. We have not done this in quite some time. Unfortunately, our guest for the evening, Graham Phillips, so sorry that you were sick over there in the UK, my friend. Take care of yourself. I'm so glad to hear that it is not the COVID that you have, but rather a stomach virus. So watch out, everybody. It is that time of year as we get started. So our guest this evening, no, it says James Keenan on there. Don't know why it says that. Amy Jordan, my amazing wife, is our co-host this evening. So welcome to the show again, baby.
Thank you.
You're always here.
I mean, thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Always here. During election time, last time we did this, I was actually listening to the episode the other day. That was episode, I want to say it was 73.
Whoa.
Something like that.
73.
Yeah, I mean,
that's like baby pie.
I know. It doesn't really seem like it's that long ago, but we actively had Confucius Jones on the show. We had Aaron Fresh Knight. At the time, they were not with the Breaks. They were not with KUTX. They were just talking about possibly doing that. Mm-hmm. So glad to see where they've come now. Same thing with our other guest that was there, Tia Williams. Mm-hmm. She is out with her show Gentrified, getting that done.
Absolutely, making lots of films.
And right now, Stephen Bishop, congrats on the new position, my friend. So sorry you could not be here for the relive of this episode. But
Excuse me, I'm going to sneak away because
Oh, yeah. Well, last time we did this, we had a great time. It was a very long show, one of the longest in Dudes and Beer history. We verged on close to 5 hours of content that night. So much so that we got kicked off Spreaker and had to come back because we hit the capacity for speaking time. And I remember going through and listening to that the other day, for the first time literally in almost 4 years since it happened. I know I went through and listened to highlights the next day, all that kind of stuff. And man, the utter surprise that was in the room, whenever things started getting announced, whenever results started coming in, all that kind of stuff, it was flabbergasted. Is the easiest way I could put it. I had called the election before that. We had of course been covering everything as we do on Dudes and Beer regularly. And my whole thing was that this was the first reality show election. Thank you so much, Alan Phillips, for tuning in this evening. We always try to keep it interesting. It was more than interesting getting the show ready this evening. I came off broadcast from a show, came home, had a quick Zoom call to take care of some stuff, and then handled all of this in very quick fashion getting set up here in the studio. So thank you so much for tuning in. We will always try to bring you some of the newest and greatest information. Thank you once again, as I said the other day in my message to everybody. Thank you so much to all of the contributors to the Dudes and Beer group here, keeping the conversation going, keeping things like that moving forward. So welcome back, Amy.
Hey.
So,
I'm hoping that I don't have to run off too many more times.
You may.
We have a tiny child, so, you know, that happens. We also have a tiny cat in case either of us get attacked at any point. We have a tiny kitten who's decided to attack everything.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what are we up to?
Well, I was just talking with the audience about some of the some of the coverage that we had last time and the quite literal flabbergastation of people. Oh. I know, I love making up words.
Yeah.
I just turned that into a verb. I think.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, just to hear Confucius just fall out, like, oh, my God, I can't believe this just happened.
It was very surprising.
It was. If you go through and listen to that episode, folks, I don't mean to have the maniacal laughter that I have.
I was really worried about what you're going to apologize
when the result for. When the results start coming through. I literally just laughed maniacally, out of control almost, because like the whole year that we had been covering everything, I just kept saying, like, get ready for our first reality TV election. This is it. We officially had, for the first time ever, a WWE wrestler running. Mm-hmm. We had an active wrestler running for president, mm-hmm. and he won. Like, it was nothing. He had just come off a stint of reality TV. So it was one of those, like, if you're looking for a reality TV result, this is it. It was the biggest twist that most people could expect.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it took people aback. And it was one of those things to me that was just there, you know? If you looked at it, it was one of those things that to me was a foregone conclusion. The candidate on the other side totally missed the entire Midwest. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just don't go visit the Rust Belt.
Sure.
but I think in addition to that, it was really just more the fact of, I think, lack of coverage, believe it or not.
Lack of coverage. In the election? I mean, as I recall, and clearly I'm not great at recalling, but as I recall, you know, there was quite a bit of talk about the whole Hillary versus Trump situation.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know if we can blame him winning on, like, a lack of press coverage, because if only just because I feel like if we said that, that would encourage the press to be more, and I don't think they need to be more.
Well,
so I don't know. I mean, I feel like you're right that it was a foregone conclusion, but really more just because the world was, you know, a reality TV place that was like begging to find out how to explode the world and make it crazy.
So we aren't anymore.
Oh, no, no. I can almost guarantee that if the next time TV shows are pitched, if someone pitches a reality show, they'll go, could we get people to write a show instead? Like, I feel like we've had enough reality for a while, and we're done with that now.
And when I say there wasn't enough reporting, what I mean is actual reporting, not sensationalism, not like coverage of a topic, but actual reporting where
you're trying to say that in 2016 there was not enough actual reporting. It feels like saying it's just like a shot in the dark of like vague notions, right?
No, not really, because I mean actual reporting is where you only report and let people make up their mind.
Okay.
That's it. Like old school Edward R. Murrow, these are the facts as we know them. It's up to you to make up your mind. That is not the case and course of modern day media. That
sure.
is not the case and course of modern day news.
Sure.
Just about everybody is towing a line in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying. I feel like you can't just say that in 2016 they didn't do that.
There was quite a bit of rabble. Oh, no, no.
I feel like there's a lot more lying and fake news now than there ever was. And that,
sure.
if nothing else, like, you know, now is more the case of, like, rile the people versus let's put out facts. Also, I believe 2020 has taught us all that we are not interested in facts. Facts are unnecessary. Only what I think is the right thing, and everybody else can go screw. So we're going to see how that plays out, you know,
yeah.
in a large election
Literally.
Scenario.
Literally.
You know, immediately.
Yeah.
and see how it goes. Right now we have in front of us the TV is on
yep.
mute, and it's showing us all of the data as it's coming through. Thankfully, not subtitled, because I don't necessarily need to hear what they're saying
about
it so much as the percentages and states and whatnot.
Well, and I mean, they're showing the electoral votes. That was a big conversation that I had with quite a few people over the last week, was that if you followed polls, the entirety almost of the 2016 election, amongst the polls, Hillary was ahead regularly.
Some would say she was ahead in the election.
By a wide margin. Even in the votes, yeah. No,
right, that's what I'm saying.
She
the
won.
Popular votes, she
absolutely.
Won.
Absolutely. And that's just it. When it comes down to it, we covered this a couple weeks ago with Richard B. Spence. Shout out to you, my friend. Thank you so much for the connection with your publicity people. We will be having numerous great guests come because of that. former professor of history at the University of Idaho, 34 years. He taught a class in the graduate realm on the history of Russo-U.S. intelligence relations. And just to talk with him and someone who studied that world for so long on the topic of elections, election meddling, the way that we meddle with foreign elections, the way that, of course, yeah, Russia's been playing with our elections since, like, shortly after World War II, when they became our enemy, technically, because
sure.
there was no other enemy to have. let's just go be angry at the people that helped us.
Sure. I mean, who do you think's leaking the Hunter Biden stuff? Them,
well,
for sure.
And that's one of the interesting things coming out right now is the Hunter Biden stuff, all that, because, of course, there is the question, questioning whether or not the stuff is real, when in fact we actively, come this time 4 years ago, were beginning to look into Russia meddling. Was the president in know of this? Did the president-elect allow this to happen? Did he encourage it to happen? Come to find out, no, not really. Russia definitely did some stuff. They definitely put some ads out. They definitely gathered some data. They hacked both the Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee, both of them.
Was that proven?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely proven. No doubt about it. They hacked both of them.
Why did I think that there was that hearing that they had and it sort of said that they didn't hack the election?
No. Well, they didn't. What they didn't do was influence the votes. They didn't break into machines and change votes or anything like that. Did they have a disinformation campaign going on? Yeah, that's what they do. That's what we do. We do it in foreign elections. We do the exact same thing. Good Lord, how do you think that crazy guy over in Iraq got in charge? We helped get him there.
Oh, sure.
And then we got him out. So, like, we prop up these regimes regularly, and kind of like the good professor said, polls are great, but unfortunately they're very easily rigged. And it really just comes down to who you're polling, where you're polling them, and what they do for a living. And once you can get those demographics down, you can pretty much sway the position of any poll the way you want it to. Depending on when you're polling, what time you're polling, who's at home when you're polling, you know, is it elderly people that you're polling more?
Probably.
And just like Richard B. Spence said, unfortunately, we have a political system set up where quite literally the person elected is not a representative. He's not. When you're talking about a typical 25 to 30% of the voting age populace turning out to vote, and that's a good election, that's not necessarily an actual representative of the possible votes that could be.
Oh, I really thought you were going at it another way there. I thought you were going at it in that you know, these people show up with their agendas and their thoughts and their opinions, and they do what they want.
Sure.
And they don't actually represent the people that they are in charge of.
That is the flip side.
Because that's actually this case.
That is the case in
House, Senate. I don't care at all what any of them believe.
Me neither.
Or what they plan to do.
Nope.
Unless they're showing me that the constituents in the area that they represent,
that's right,
want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I have no interest in that.
I am on purpose politically agnostic. I am not red. I am not blue. I vote my conscience, and I look up the people that I want to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
And I see their platform and whether or not I stand behind that, if that's something that I would do.
I believe also that's why they sort of, I'm going to use the word abolish, but it's too harsh, abolish the, like, straight party ticket.
Yeah.
Thing,
yeah.
Where, like, you have to choose each
That's
person
right.
as opposed to, like, you can't just go, like, full ticket.
That's right.
So they, like, changed that so that people really did, could,
yeah, so
like,
that you
vote whatever.
Had to vote.
Well, not only that, but, like, so that you would give some thought individually to each race,
yeah.
Right? As opposed to just, like, oh, all the Democrats, right?
Yep.
Like, I wish I could have hit a button that said anyone that wasn't an incumbent.
Yes.
Who can I vote for that's
yep.
not already there?
That,
because currently, who's
yeah.
there? Fail.
Yep.
You
and
failed.
It,
Thank
and that's
you so much
just
for
it.
Failing. Let's get the rest of them in.
Yeah. If you're going to make a straight party vote where somebody can go in, push one button, and vote all Democrat or vote all Republican, yeah, you should absolutely have the same button where it's nobody that's in office.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like,
I mean,
why not? That makes perfect sense. Even right now, one of the things that we were talking about a few weeks ago with Richard B. Spence was the concept of blockchain voting. Like, blockchain is such an incredible technology. You can sit here on your mobile device and trade Bitcoin all day.
I don't know what blockchain is.
Blockchain is basically a substitution algorithm where it's going to kick out a randomization every once in a while to keep you on a secure place. So basically it's almost an unhackable system. Imagine a security protocol that randomly changes.
So we could what vote with our phones?
You could vote with your phone.
Sure.
From
yeah.
where
well,
you are.
Here's the thing. If we've learned anything from this, from the mail-in voting scare and every single politician giving some sort of speech about how they're going to throw away this and this thing
yeah.
isn't going to happen, then I think maybe the idea of making voting easier is not what any of them actually want.
Yeah.
If they wanted it to be simpler and easier, I'm pretty sure we have the technology to do that. However, they don't want that because then they would actually find out what people really want. It's mm-hmm. like when they were saying that they were going to throw out all of the drive-through votes that
yeah.
they had in Harris County.
Yeah.
It and somebody on one of the threads posted like, oh, they're doing it because they're scared. What? I mean, they probably are, but it's still like, why? Like, can't you just like, I don't know, trust that whatever happens is the right thing. I'm going to say that, and I don't know this, and I haven't seen the numbers on the screen yet to tell me so, but I can guarantee that this election has a larger voter turnout than maybe any election ever. And if that's the case, then whatever answer we get in a week when they actually really tell us who the president is, because let's be clear, we're not going to know tonight. Whenever they tell us, it could potentially really be voted like with the amount of people, like so that these things, so that each person it really gets their vote to count, right? Like you're right. 25% of people are voting on regular elections. That doesn't represent anybody.
Yeah, that is not a representative.
But
and that's
now,
of
if we
the
are,
voting populace.
Yeah,
that's
total.
That's not just 25% of the populace voting.
No, I'm
that's
sure.
That's 25% of people of age to vote.
I'm going to Google, but I need to know now what percentage of the population is under 18. You know what I mean? Like, is it huge? Or because it's hard to tell. Sometimes generationally,
sure,
there's a
sure.
ton of kids
yeah.
versus, like, older people and whatnot. But it's like, it would be fascinating if we got, you know, upwards of 60% or more of the voting public.
Oh, yeah,
to
that's
actually put a vote. I don't know. I mean, we don't know. There have been weeks of early voting in so many states. No. You don't think
there's early vote? There's weeks of early voting every year.
Really?
Every year. Man. There's no difference. They did nothing different this go around than they do in every single election. They may have kept some places open longer. They may have changed things because of the COVID rules, but early voting starts at the same time all the time.
Huh? I don't know. I mean, yeah. I'm sure at some point they'll let us know what percentage of the voting public voted, but it's interesting to imagine that more people voting just means that
so.
We have more of a representation of what people really, really want.
Yeah, yeah.
And at the end of the day, no matter what the answer is, like, that's all we need. We just need it to be that way. Now, I saw somebody post recently where it was like, if it was, you know, 49.9 and 50.1, we got to go with the 50.1? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm real
that's
sorry,
how
but that's
that
how
works.
It works out. Like that's why
that's
the Electoral
how a vote
College
is passed.
Stinks. Because if that's the case, you know, then everything goes, you know, let it be 50-50 if it's going to be that in a state, you know?
Sure, sure.
I looked it up. According to the 2010 census, the number of people under 18 was 24% of the total population. Now, that's, of course, before the current 2020 census. I don't think they have the numbers for that yet.
No,
but 24% is a pretty valid amount.
If most of those people were 2 years old at the time, then, you know.
If most of those people were 2 years old.
8 years old, I mean, 8 years old, then they would be old enough to vote now. So
Sure.
It depends on
10 years
yeah.
of babies being born and people getting older in that time. Sure, absolutely. But 24%, I would say, is probably a solid, like, amount, right?
Sure.
So that means that 75% of the total population of the country are over 18 who can vote, right? So 60% of the 75%, not bad. Not bad. Could be interesting.
It would be great.
It would be great. It would be super cool.
And, you know, the interesting thing, like we said with Richard Spence a couple weeks ago, would be to actively make Election Day a holiday.
Yep, there's been talk of that.
To give people a paid day off. Like, you get paid by your boss, typically, at least like $25 or something to go to jury duty.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, most bosses will give you the day off with pay or at least some pay, at least a partial day.
When I had jury duty in New York City, I did not get paid. They give you like a Metro pass to get home.
Oh, no. Like, I'm talking about from your boss.
Oh, I didn't get paid by my boss.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying that the city, though.
Were you working at a hotel?
No. Hmm. I was working at the travel agency at the time. I was a receptionist at a travel agency. It was a regular job, though.
Yeah. I could see that, though, because most travel agencies aren't like corporately owned. You know, they're like real estate offices. They're under somebody's auspice, like under a single person. So,
I mean, regardless,
I could see
it's
that.
A business. Whatever it did, they didn't pay me.
Yeah, I mean, like whenever I worked at Randall's, they paid me to go to jury duty.
Oh,
you know,
Randall's
like,
is a special kind of place.
But I think it's interesting. The point I was trying to make is I think it's very interesting that the two ways that you can literally change the system as an American, there are really only two. One is to vote. The other is to serve on jury.
Yeah.
And really your chances of don't get out of it, people. Don't try to get out of it. Go serve your jury duty if you're called up. Go serve your jury duty. You, at that point, have the amazing miracle opportunity to make precedent in a court case, to hear a case that may be coming before a judge for the first time, that type of case. You literally have a chance to help make law.
You know, plus also, like, if you don't do it, some dum-dum's going to do it. And then they're going to ruin it for everybody. And
they could.
You know, it could have been you.
They could.
But instead, some dum-dum who's like, yeah, that guy looks like he robbed the place. And they're like, literally, there's like hundreds of pieces of evidence showing that he didn't do it. And they're like, yeah, it doesn't matter. That's what it looks like. You know? When I went to jury duty that time, they asked me if a policeman was up on the stand, would I assume that he was telling the truth? And I said, assume? No. I mean, I'm pretty sure my entire job as a juror is to look at each person and assess whether or not they're telling the truth or not and what reasons they should or shouldn't tell the truth. And then base my decision on all that information, right? I can't just be like, well, clearly the people in charge of this side are right, and these people are not so right. Like, that's bias from the get.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be biased.
Yep.
My purpose is to be unbiased, is to listen. But I guess I'm also one of those silly people who thinks representatives need to represent. So I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, visionary.
I guess I'm an old person now.
Well, and let's go ahead and take a look at some numbers here. Right now we are looking at Union County in North Carolina, where there are 132,000 expected votes. And right now... that's the House stuff. There we go. 51% of that is rolling to Donald Trump right now.
No, 48%. What you're looking at on the
screen. That was Florida. Yeah.
Yeah.
56% of Jersey is for Biden, 42% for Trump. 60% of Jersey Senate is going to Cory Booker.
Yeah, they're giving like the random ones that have been sort of like called.
Yeah.
Whereas, but if you'll notice under it, it's called for one, but it's like 50% in, 30% in. So
yeah.
Really, they're calling it for no reason. If you're watching this at home and you're getting nervous or whatever thing, if it says 39%, that is not it.
Yeah.
That is not it. They haven't even added up all the things, right? Not even 50% of the things have been added, right? So, the parts I think are most fascinating are when they are identifying the different counties and stuff like that. That's just interesting, I think, in a large scale to see a state with a bunch of red and blue on it and have it say, you know, like different groups have different things are focused on different political parties. So it's interesting. It's interesting to see how it's going to play out. But as far as the news coverage goes, like, don't get too obsessed with this kind of stuff. Look at all the numbers. It's not just what percentage it is right now. It's also what percentage is in. You know, they are calling it, but they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the main thing to consider is the fact that even with all of our electronic technology and everything else right now, there's still a lot of standard voting. There's still a lot of standard voting booths. That stuff has to be counted. Mm-hmm. And I'll call it right now. I called it a couple weeks ago with Richard Spence. I call recount already. Doesn't matter which party.
Yeah, totally.
Doesn't matter which party. That's my call, is that either one at this point will be unyielding. Mm-hmm. Either one will not be willing to admit defeat and will take it to a recount.
Sure. Sure. I want to say that they have until early December officially to finish counting.
I want to say it's the 21st.
No, I want to say it was like December 8th or something that I saw.
Is it that early?
Yeah, it was early because I don't think they want to drag it out to the end of the year. They need to, if whoever wins, you got to remember, you and I, we do conventions, right? They got to have a big old party with a bunch of stuff. There's a lot of people waiting on their print orders, so they need them in by December 8th. So the banners say the right things. So, you know, the napkins in the White House for the first day have the right name on it. Welcome, Mr. President, or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. For me, it's just the fact of it's inevitable. Neither party is going to accept defeat right now. It's going to come down to the same thing it did with Bush Gore. It's going to be a full on
hanging Chad situation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And even with that in mind, moving forward in election process, trying to get past that point, like our good friend Michael Davis is judge of elections in his county in Pennsylvania, and he holds fast, he holds strong. He's like, I do not care if we are there until 4 a.m. the next day. we will hand count every ballot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here's hoping that all people in all districts are just like him.
Well, we hope. The fact is, I mean, not that electronic voting isn't a good concept.
Sure.
Once we get blockchain involved, things like that, I'll feel a lot more comfortable with it. Simply because the long chain blockchain is very, very hard to hack. It really does guarantee the fact that you have privacy, I have privacy, even if our devices are talking with each other, stuff like that. If it weren't for the fact that I guarantee you, after the election, here within 2 weeks, you will hear something about a high school student who was able to hack a local voting machine. It happens every couple years at hacker cons, where they have white hat hackers and stuff like that. You know, people who get together in the community. I did one whenever I first moved here, a security convention with a bunch of hackers and stuff like that. And I remember watching a guy hack into a home computer via a Bluetooth nightlight. And when I literally saw him start accessing the computer that was on the same system as the Bluetooth nightlight, that just tripped me out. He just used that Bluetooth nightlight to hack into a computer in a home system.
Yeah.
That's wild. And the same thing could happen. Absolutely. You know, I mean, there were issues in Florida last time around where, like I said, there was a high school student that hacked into one. It's shown every few years that kind of stuff is regular and easy.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to have to say that if we ever get blockchain security for our voting systems, then and only then can you trust your government. Previous to that, at all other times, they are leaving it open with full knowledge and ability to create a secure system. And because they're not, in my mind, it's they're complicit in the fact that things get hacked, that they're leaving it open in the same way that the people who are in the Electoral College think that they're the electors because they're somehow better than other people, so they should be allowed to vote whatever they want, even if something else doesn't happen, which, by the way, they only very recently, like 3 months ago, maybe, got a rule, like an official law that said the electors had to vote what the popular vote was. They couldn't just go, it doesn't matter that 58% voted for Biden, I'm going Trump. Like, that's what they could have done in the past. And they did.
That's what they did.
Because they thought they were better, right? They were like, I was chosen for this high position, so I am allowed to make this decision and change it. No.
Yeah.
Now they're like, bros, your literal job is to see what it says and do what it says. That's your job, right? And I know that it seems like a silly job to have if that's the rule, and I do think it's a silly job to have, but I do think that all this, I don't know, I'm very conspiracy theorist and cynical about this in that I'm like, yeah, they wouldn't have the system if they want it to be hacked. Like they're setting up scenarios where there's this door and that door and various ways in which we can get messed up. And it's like, you guys could fix this.
The electoral system does.
The internet does.
Well, I mean, the electoral system does absolutely set up for the fact that you could have a means of control like that. That you could have, and we talked about that with Richard Spence, the fact that back in the day when the Constitution was written, when all these things were happening, absolutely necessary. And even now, somewhat necessary. When you're talking about major voting populace that literally exists in maybe five cities. There would literally be five cities and approximately three states that would run the election.
They still do.
I know. And that's one of the reasons why the Electoral College still exists.
The Electoral College doesn't do anything to change that.
In theory. I mean,
not really.
It basically, the concept is that it evens out the equation of vote because much like you have a representative number of people in Congress, you now have a representative number of electoral votes that can counteract another state.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So
they use the same rigged system for now, the Senate and the House to run the Electoral College.
Granted, yeah, and granted, like I said, in the days of our founding fathers, when you were talking about, let's say, the days of the Civil War, 50, 60 years after the founding of our country, you know, closer to 100, but there were still skirmishes being fought 2-3 years after the Civil War ended, because people just ain't got the memo yet.
Sure.
In that day and age, yeah, I could totally see the use of an electoral college system, because it could be 2 months before the Pony Express, maybe the Pony Express rider didn't even make it with the ballots.
What?
You know?
So then
he could have been, the horse could have thrown a shoe and he could have fallen off a cliff on his way over here.
So then
now Delaware can't vote.
So then Joe Elector just gets to decide what Delaware does because the Pony Express doesn't deliver the votes in? Seems bunk then.
Well,
seems bunk now.
The difference is Johnny Elector in Delaware is in Delaware. So he's going to have a whole lot more information than the Congress down the road does. So I can grasp the concept, like I said, back then. In this modern day and age, I don't really know so much. Even good people like Richard Spence, who live in Idaho, which is not quite as populous as Texas, you know. You go to states like Montana, stuff like that, where like you may not have a neighbor for another 5 miles in some parts of that. You know.
So what does that mean? That the voters in Montana should be allowed to have their votes count more than in Texas just because we have more people?
Well, and that's part of the electoral system, is that the electoral system balances that out. It assures the fact that Montana's vote counts as much as Texas's. That Montana's vote counts as much as L.A., you know.
It doesn't, though. I just looked it up, and the number of electoral votes per state is just the same as the number of seats in the Senate and the House. And the House is the Senate, everybody gets two, but in the House, it's based on population. So it's still based on population.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. I mean, somebody was posting on Facebook, like, why do Louisiana and Kentucky have the same electoral votes? Seems like they have the same amount of representatives, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's how it is. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I get that it's focused on population and that it's supposed to be helpful. I just don't think it is. I think it's like, since we have the ability at this point to actually do popular vote and see what it is, take it.
Yeah.
Take it, man. And why not?
Yeah. Yeah. And
it's just silly to have two votes. If they wanted to keep the electoral college,
neck and neck in Texas,
then forget it.
Texas is right now 49 for Joe, 50 for Trump.
Yeah, and it keeps bouncing up and down.
Wisconsin, 50 and 48. There are quite a few that are neck and neck like that.
Yeah, Texas, though, is definitely something that I'm interested in seeing how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
It would fascinate me, even if that it's 50-50 right now, is mind-blowing.
Wow.
And that the idea is that it could even possibly be blue is crazy.
Even the stat that they're popping up on screen right now, where Pennsylvania received over 2.5 million mail-in and absentee ballots. Mm. You know, that's amazing. That is just a resounding number, like you were saying, of representation going on. And right now, in the presidential race to 270. To the 270 electoral votes, Biden is at 89, Trump is at 63.
I thought there were 500 and something electoral votes.
I think so. I think it's to the greater number, though. You have to remember, you don't need 500 votes to win. You just need a greater majority of the votes. So,
oh, 270 plus 270. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, listen, I see the way you're looking at me like that makes sense, but 500 is a lot higher than 270.
Yes, yes.
And then I understood you meant 270.
You only need that resounding 49 percentile, because there's going to be the third party candidates. There's going to be all that. So all you need is that 51%.
The East Coast that 1% seems to have extra. A lot higher percentages of in, right? So, like, Florida's 93% in. Now, here's my question.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you actually know the answer to this, and maybe we're just going to make it up. But why don't they count the votes that came early?
Because you can't?
What do you mean you can't?
It's not election day.
Yeah, but who cares? Count them.
Oh.
What do you mean, no? I'm trying to get this done quicker. Get it.
I understand
those
that. We have quite a bit of time.
Great. Now we got till the middle of December. Of it. Yeah.
We got another month to figure it out.
If it's done early, get it done. I'm just saying, like, get it done. Like, count them early. Get a post-it.
You can go vote, but we cannot start tallying votes. We cannot open them until election day has come.
That just seems like a waste.
No, man. I mean, it makes perfect sense to me. I don't know.
Great.
Today's election day. You can go cast your ballot early, but we ain't going to be looking at it till the day of.
Hey.
Like, otherwise, we'd be having 3 weeks of this on the TV. This would be a 3-week-long process.
Just when it starts, they're like, okay, so here's the tallies from the early voting. Right, we just start up early on the early votes, and we're like, ooh, ah.
Now,
we
granted,
so much
those are some
done.
Of the first numbers that they give you.
Sure.
You know, because, yeah, they're just starting coverage, so... Some of that stuff is still coming in. Like, you know, the reason why the East Coast is done earlier is the sun set earlier. Like, the time zones start over there and they move west, you know, and things change by head. It is. Uh-huh. It's wild. Huh. It's a crazy thing, Greenwich Mean Time.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So Alaska's the last one to stay open? I see.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm. Well, technically Hawaii. But
oh, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Ooh, we'd really have to wait for Hawaii.
Exactly.
Hawaii should all do early voting. There should be no voting on election day. It should just be... I just think it's silly not to count it before. There's like 14 million. You can't count for... Imagine, think about the boy counting to 20. Imagine somebody counting to 4 million.
He's pretty quick at it.
One.
He's all right.
Two. There's that guy
don't
in the
them.
Back of that room, and someone's just yelling, 286, 14, 7.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, for me, the election comes down to the simple fact of it's a barrage. All from the beginning of the year to now. And to see... where we have come, what has come through the news cycle, what's filtered through the news cycle, and what everybody has is their, quote, October surprise, like we were saying earlier. Last time the October surprise was twofold. We got two October surprises. One was, of course, the Clinton email scandal.
Yep.
And the
old
email
lady
server.
She doesn't know how to use email.
She doesn't know how to keep things on a secure server. She had a server in her bathroom.
They don't understand.
She had a server in her bathroom.
You saw the boomers asking questions to the Facebook guy. They don't even know. They're like, so how do I get an account on Facebook?
So I've been trying to change my profile picture.
I'm terribly
how
sorry.
Do I change that?
Sir, this is not the time to ask. Mark Zuckerberg is not that. We're discussing improprieties.
He is not technical support.
This is not what this is for. So tell me, what does HTTP stand for? They were not great, right? All I'm saying is blockchain's not happening until we get a president that's under 50.
Yeah.
Like, currently under 50, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Technology, I went off on a weird rabbit hole because old people have a hard time with emails. What was the other October surprise?
The other October surprise was, of course, the Steele dossier.
Oh,
that was the retort
about how somebody's involved, about how Trump's involved with Russia. That was actually created by the CIA. DNC.
It was created by Steele, STEELE, a British agent, who now works in those realms. And of course, we went through Cambridge Analytica afterward, and all kinds of fun stuff over the last 4 years. And it's been interesting to see some of that stuff literally from the election play out from election to election. To see that stuff still linger. We are still reeling from congressional hearings, all of that stuff, to find out that, that was utterly paid for. That was a document that, come to find out, was written by a foreign agent, used by the FBI to go obtain what is now known to be illegal FISA warrants, so illegal that the FISA court said it is the, quote, greatest abuse ever seen by the FISA court.
FISA court usually deals with torture.
FISA court, yes, is the only court above the Supreme Court in the United States.
No, I just wanted to say that to be clear that if this is the worst thing the FISA court's ever seen, the other things the FISA court's looking at are like terrible, terroristic, horrible abuses of power. And this is the one. This is the one that's the most terrible. Yet I bet you half the people, well, not our audience, I bet you they do know that, but I bet you most people don't even know that that was debunked. It's like we were talking about earlier. Nobody cares about facts.
Yeah.
No one has any interest in some facts. Nope. Absolutely not. And I believe the 2016 election alerted us to that by the woman from the DNC who had been fired for lying being one of the people speaking.
Yeah.
On television on election night being like, let me tell you what's going on with the DNC. And I was like, didn't she get fired for fraud? Oh, she's fine now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, she's fine because it came out that legally the RNC and DNC are fully allowed to rig their own primary.
Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have laughed so loud. That's just ridiculous.
That's apparently in law. That
it's cool.
Whoever gets the primary election is technically up to the party, not up to the people that voted in the primary.
You know, I can only hope that the immense knowledge that we have all loaded into our brains during the course of 2020, because we've had all this time to learn, that this can be what leads the future generations of Gen X and millennials to actually change the systems so that it is less, I'm not going to say not at all, but less fraught with terrible fraud and lying and cheating and stealing. Mm. That's not what the point of this is. That's not what the point of this is. The point of this is to have a leader of some kind. Now, not even a leader that's going to spend that much time. 4 years? Come on. We all know 2020 felt like 56 years. But 2016 to 2020 didn't feel like 4 years. No presidency ever feels like any amount of time because 4 years is like a minute and a half.
4 years is nothing.
Right? So realistically, we're just asking for a solid spokesman, right? I just want someone to say, like, buy this car, right? I don't need anybody that crazy, but it's just been so crazy.
It has been.
And we need to update the systems. We need to get out there and get ourselves involved and hold people truly accountable. And I don't mean this crap. You know, Trump, Biden, they're all in the same system.
Well,
they're all doing the same thing. It doesn't actually matter.
You've heard my spiel before. I don't want to live in a political lean-to. That's what a two-party system is.
Sure.
You got no walls. It's a lean-to. That's it. One good breeze, it falls over. You got to have more than two walls. You got to have more than two walls to make a house, folks, mm-hmm. in order to live in something. And like the analogy I give on the show all the time is the movie Moscow on the Hudson with Robin Williams. Love that movie. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. 80s classic, folks. But the scene where he is walking down the coffee aisle and passes out. Because when the movie starts, he's in communist Russia. He's been like waiting for 3 hours in a toilet paper line to go get toilet paper for his 10-person family living in this 2-bedroom apartment. And when he defects and comes to America with the circus, he goes to the supermarket for the first time and just plotzes because he goes down the coffee aisle and there's more than just coffee available. There's like Maxwell House and Folgers and, you know, chock full of nuts and like here's Cafe Bustelo. Here's this kind of ground and that kind and so many choices. He doesn't know what to do with himself and his brain just shuts down and he passes out in the middle of it. And that's what our political system is designed to be. We are supposed to have so many choices that we don't know what to do. We're supposed to have so many choices that you have to educate yourself. Mm-hmm. When you're stuck with two, and when people consistently tell you nothing else is valid, nothing else is valid, nothing else is valid, question that all day. My first election that I was old enough to vote in, I remember watching Ralph Nader, my candidate of choice, being held out by security from the debate stage.
Ralph Nader, who without him, you would have all died in a car crash.
That's right.
Because he's the person who convinced them to put seatbelts in cars.
He's also the person that convinced them to put turns in the road.
Turns
to keep
in the
you
road.
Awake.
Turns in the road.
Because, hey, Houston to Dallas up 45 is literally a straight shot. But for some reason, 45 does this every once in a while. And it does that literally to keep you awake. Mm-hmm. So they did all kinds of studies back in the 60s. Ralph Nader was one of the people who led that charge in
solid
the late 60s, early 70s.
Should have been given the chance to be part of the debate stage. You know what? The whole debate system is a
separate
scenario.
Two elections.
A lot of them, they just want to create a scenario where it's, I was actually thinking when you made the reference to the Moscow and the Hudson situation, that it was like, oh, it was so controlling in the communist Russia that they forced them to have only two choices. Same with what's going on
here,
right?
Oh, no, absolutely.
We
it's
should
a means
all
of
have
control.
As many choices to vote for
That's right.
as we have versions of cereal that you can get in the aisle. You know how many versions of Cheerios I looked at today when I went grocery shopping? 12.
Yep.
How many people do I get to choose from to vote?
Two.
Actually, there were four on the ballot, but let's be clear, I didn't ever hear the names of the other two. Wouldn't have mind a Yang. I'm a Yang gang for sure. Andrew Yang. Love you, buddy. But
Casey Wells all the way.
But like this, the list of people was just like, it might as well have said Trump, Biden, Schmo 1, Schmo 2. You know what I mean? With the amount
thing
of
one,
coverage that they gave these people, the amount of respect that they gave these people.
Well, and hey, I'm not sure what their numbers were, but I know Ralph Nader had a third of the popular vote. Even come election time, he had a good majority of the popular vote.
Yeah.
Better than a quarter. And once again, held out, kept away from the debate stage, told he was not invited, mainly because the debates are actively run by the media and sponsored by the major parties.
You know, I have said that 2020, while a terrible time for all, has been a time where we've learned a lot about, you know, the way the elections work and just the way that, you know, the whole government works.
Yeah.
And I just really hope it certainly ignited quite a few people in, you know, in various generations from the millennials to the Gen X to get more involved so that in the coming years when our generation is the oldest, like coming up very soon, we're Gen X. We're going to be the oldest people. And realistically, I think that's going to be great for America. For Generation X to be like 50s and up.
Yeah.
Yes, we are the crowd you want hanging out because we're not trying to make anything too crazy. I would say most Gen Xers are like, hey, relax.
I can imagine in the next 15 years how the House and the Senate will start to look kind of like the security camera on a high school cafeteria. And people are like, hey, you know, like, here's this group over here that are like, yeah, you know, they're kind of dark. It's okay. Like, they wear black nail polish and stuff, but they got some good ideas.
You think the House is going to become like high school?
Yeah. It's like, here's like the goth group and the punks and the theater kids. There's the band group.
And then there's and the jocks with the polo shirts. You're like, oh, look at those guys.
Yeah.
Is that two pink polo shirts? Yeah. This is not 83. Yeah.
There's the pastel corner.
Sure. But from, you know, we joke, but wouldn't it be great if that many different kinds of people were truly represented?
That's the idea, exactly.
That many different points of views. I am always saying that there should not be a, like, money barrier to getting into politics, right? We need people who are politicians who are living on the poverty line. I feel like there was a homeless guy trying to run for president that was talking to you a couple of weeks ago. It's like, why not?
Homeless? He's just traveling the country getting his word around.
No, I thought there was a guy that was like the homeless, the mayor of the homeless or whatever.
There is a mayor of the homeless in Austin. There is an elected mayor by them.
So all I'm saying is the homeless population is an unrepresented population.
Absolutely.
Right?
Totally disenfranchised.
Because let's be clear, I'm pretty sure you have to have an ID and an address to vote. So all those people living on the streets, they can't put their
word
out there. But who's to say that whoever the president is doesn't affect their lives, right?
It absolutely does.
Absolutely does, right?
Absolutely.
Like, in fact, I noticed, and I'm hoping it's more of a help them, it's cold out scenario than a let's clean it up. But a certain area of Austin that is usually very filled with homeless people was really clean and empty. And I was worried for the homeless people. I was like, oh, God, what did they do to them? Right? Because everyone needs to be represented. Every level of economic point in the country, it can't just be the rich people. It just can't, because I'm super sorry, but they just don't understand. And it's no fault of them. I don't hate them because they have money. That's their point of view, right? So they have to understand what it's like. And maybe they would make a decision differently if they had been through tough times, if they knew what it was like to be like a single parent or like pay rent with like pennies that you can find, right?
Yeah.
Like, people need to have gone through that to actually make true, good economic decisions that benefit everybody, right? And I just wish there was a way in our system that people of all economic levels could be part of it, could be representatives, and that as representatives, they were not there with their own thoughts and feelings doing what they want, but rather we're there to represent the people they're there to represent. It's not about them. It's about wherever it is that they represent, right? Sometimes it's the whole country. Usually it's a smaller district, a state, a county, whatever. But you got to stay focused on that and give those people your efforts, right?
Yeah.
I just, you know, I feel like hopefully – I don't know that this election, I think this election is the beginning of a lot of things for learning, for getting better, for improving the way that we are all actively involved in our own government. And I'm hoping that we stay this way. I'm hoping that we stay interested and involved. And, you know, if you don't know what to do, figure out what your deal is. Figure out what it, sometimes it's too much. You know, if you're listening to this and you're like, I can't solve the world. What am I going
to
do?
You don't have to solve the world.
Find
that's
your
just
one thing.
Well,
and put your effort in into that one thing because it matters.
Now, granted, beautiful advice.
Thanks.
And I'm all about change. The one thing that you have to remember, folks, is keep that dream in check. Mm-hmm. Great to have a head in the clouds. Make sure to keep at least one toe on the ground. Unfortunately, the horrible fact is most things you can only change in your direct vicinity. Most things you can only change right here where you can immediately run. That does not mean you are helpless, though, because believe it or not, as important as the national field is for politics, it affects your life maybe about that much nationally. Local and state level, like that much.
Yeah,
that's where your property taxes come from. That's where your education system comes from. All that kind of stuff. So focus on your nationals, folks. But more than anything, pay close attention to who is running for your local government, your state government. Those are the people directly in charge of your funds. And as great it is as it is to worry about what's happening in New York, short of living in New York, you can make no change. Mm-hmm. So you really do have to worry about the way that we talk about things on this show is the world that you can run to. Mm-hmm. The world within three arm spans, 10 quick steps. That's what you need to worry about. Worry about yourself. Worry about your family. Worry about your friends. Because when you worry about them, they'll worry about themselves and their family and their friends. And their family and their friends will worry about their family and their friends. It's a chain reaction concept. And it really does kind of mitigate some of the harsh pain of the world when you go, man, I just really couldn't change that stuff in New York from way down here. I don't know what happened. No, but you could make a ripple here that could make a pretty decent impact. That when your ripple hits my ripple, meets their ripple, and their ripple and their ripple, we make a tiny little wave and we can do things. So it really is about...
You're so hopeful.
It's about being positive. It really is. It's a small mentality shift. It doesn't take a lot. Because, yeah, it can be really, really easy to get discouraged with this stuff. It can get really, really easy to let the world beat you down. Mm-hmm. And to just think that, like, oh, my God, the next 4 years is going to be horrible. Hey, man, let's focus on the end of November right now. Mm-hmm. Let's focus... maybe to the end of January, 3 months. Let's keep things realistic. Let's don't worry about the next 4 years. We can't do anything about the next 4 years. We cannot predict the future. Even our best computer models can barely predict the future. So
may I have one thought about this, though?
Absolutely.
So to that end, to the idea of, like, stay focused on your own state, on your own city, how it got run, I feel like 2020 and the pandemic showed us which states could handle it and which states couldn't, which states made moves that worked out and which states didn't. You know, some of them really made great moves. Some of them failed hardcore. Like, and each different group, you know, you got to watch how did it work? How didn't it work? And then you can make your decisions on who of them you're going to reelect. And then also, like, different ways people are talking about dealing with stuff. You're like, well, we learned this from COVID, so we don't want to do that again, right? So that's a good thing. The other thing is, I feel like no matter what, you know, we were talking about the recount. People are going to be upset at the end of this election, no matter what. Whoever wins, whatever happens. If you decide after the end of this election, oh, no, I'm going to get out of here. I don't want to move here. First thing to consider would be, number one, ain't no other countries taking you right now, so you can't go somewhere else, all right? However, bright side is there's 50 states, and you can
there's
see
a ton of them.
How each one of those states dealt with this situation. And if you think some state dealt with it better than, say, your state, well, then great. Move on over there. You're in the same country, admittedly, but you are in a different place with a different vibe,
sure.
Different representatives. Maybe you could find a better spot there. Maybe you fit in better with that sort of situation. The end is not, the end is not nigh.
Sure.
It is just a matter of finding your place in the world, right? Who the president is, I mean, you know, but, you and I have talked about it. Clearly, you and I are easygoing about this more than many of our friends. We're also a lot more centrist than a lot of people that we know. So we're kind of fine either way, right? I have my opinions. Sure, absolutely.
Yeah.
I voted for Biden. I'd like him to win. Do I love him? No. No, I don't love him at all. I mean, he's weird. But I voted for him
and
because
see,
I'm like, yeah, sure, let's see how it goes.
And see, here's a prime example, folks. Not a Biden guy.
Sure.
We live in we share the same bed. We disagree politically fairly frequently.
I don't know.
I wouldn't say fairly frequently.
I don't know how really
but we definitely get into our debates about things.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, let's be honest, I'm usually just trying to fight.
Yeah, you can't help it. That's the Boston in you. But for me, it's I cannot. The whole spectrum is white to me. There is no differentiation. I can't draw a differentiation
between what and what
between Republican, Democrat. Things like that. I see no differentiation in party anymore.
Oh no. I don't really
There may have been a day and time in which like my grandfather was out voting before my mom was of age where there was a clear delineation between Democrat and Republican.
No, I mean
and policies.
Realistically at this point, you know, every party person is just a huge liar, and every possible thing they're hanging their hat on. I guess the Republicans, the only thing they care about is abortion now. Like, that's just the only thing. Like, everything else is out of the window. All the, like, small government, nah, we don't care. Like, lack of regulation, it's cool. I'll take some regulation. Like, I don't understand. There's so many things about Republicans that they, like, stood hard on back in the days of HW and W where they were like, this is what a Republican really is. And really, if you're a real Republican, how did you get Trump? Like, I don't like Trump, but it's less that I don't like him because he's, like, a flaming pile of insanity. But really, because, like, I want if the parties are actually going to be if you're going to have a two-party system, have some rules and stand up for those rules. And right now, none of them are standing up for their rules.
No.
So it's just a popularity contest and a bunch of old people being like, "Hey, I'm really mad about these various things." But the only thing that like half the Republicans that I know argue about is abortion. Great, don't have an abortion. You don't have to vote to decide to do that or not. Here's the thing. You can be like, you know what I don't want to do? I don't want to have an abortion. Great, don't. Like, there you go, right?
Done.
But the idea that you have to force other people to do it, I just don't see how that is a Republican notion. Forcing people to do something? No, no. Instead, it should be no laws for nothing. You figure out how you live your life. That's Republican. So that's why I don't understand.
That would be the anarchist
what
part.
They are. No, no. Yeah. No, the Republican Party has stood on the idea of small government for a long time, meaning fewer laws that in which the government is essentially telling you what to do
in your private
in your private life. Yes. So I'm pretty sure my uterus is my private life.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's happening right here is my private life, right?
Sure.
It's yours and mine. We're going to have that private life, and we're going to do whatever we want with it, right? Because that's how it's going to work. But yet somehow the private life people have decided that they want to get involved in my private life. All I'm saying by that argument is that Republicans used to have rules. They used to stand by something. And now they just go with whatever schmo stands up and wears red. So I just think, get a better platform.
Well, don't forget, last time the president that we have now did not wear red a single time. And oddly enough, the Democratic candidate did not wear blue. They wore each other's colors.
Wow, sure.
Which just subliminal psychology tells me what's going on there.
No, what's going on there is it was a male and a female, and people don't understand how women wouldn't wear red and boys wear blue, and that's how it works because people only understand a binary system. They were like, but okay. She is a woman. Why can't she not wear a red dress? Okay, I understand. I mean, Hillary's not a Republican.
No, I understand that. But nor was Trump, so.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right, absolutely.
He never voted Republican. He never gave money to Republicans. It's not what he did.
No.
So, and all of that aside, coming back to where we are now before we close out, we are currently looking at 89-72. Odd how Biden's numbers haven't really changed a whole lot, and Trump's have gone up by almost 10.
Yeah?
Yeah. Last time we reported those numbers on the race to 270 for electoral votes, there were maybe 5 or 6 less for Biden, and Trump was at like 63.
Well, I didn't know he had those numbers before.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the road to 270, they're sort of neck and neck.
89-72 right now.
I mean,
now.
But that's 89-72 based on like vague notions of the eastern states and the like 47% of each.
That's based on approximately 13 states being in right now.
Yeah. So the colonies have
plenty
voted.
Of time. Plenty of time. And that's just it. Really, the message behind this episode, folks, is this does not herald the end. It doesn't herald the end of anything. Hopefully it gives us a chance to kind of start writing course, to kind of start bringing us back into a point of control, and hopefully wake up a whole lot of people to the fact of what really matters is your House and Congress. The president is great. The president is fantastic. He gets a really cool house and a cool office. Aside from that, he can throw some baller parties without the permission of Congress or House. Everything else is done through their permission. Even whenever he writes an executive order, they have 90 days to rescind it.
And I'm pretty sure they can
challenge and rescind any executive order the man makes and go, no. And it's not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those like, okay, so we're voting on a figurehead. It's kind of like electing a pope.
We are voting on a figurehead. And I think when people say that nothing's going to change, I think that it's not that it's not going to change because the figurehead dictates the tone.
Sure.
In the same way that the leader of any group, whether or not they have real power, they are hired to set the tone.
Sure.
And we got what we wanted out of the, I didn't vote for Trump, but I'm saying the country got Trump and we got out of it what we needed, which was total insanity, complete anarchy, and a view of what it could be. And I actually truly believe that Trump was put in there to show us how we didn't want those things. And now we have Party Boy Joe coming back in to show us how we should have just gone with what Daddy told us in the first place.
Myself and Billy have held the concept, Billy Stewart being the host of Scary Dad here on the network, have held the concept since the election of Trump that the whole reason why he was allowed to run and won was to get us to the point of let's not let any more dark candidates in. No more dark horse candidates. No more people that haven't been politicians. normal people like Ross Perot. We skirted that one enough. Ross Perot spending his own money, not taking money for an election.
How dare
stuff
he?
Like that. Saying some common sense things.
I hate that.
Trying to stop that stuff. We can't have that foolishness. Right after him was Ralph Nader. And then Ralph Nader again. Mm-hmm. And we can't have that foolishness. Even though he was well entrenched in the halls of House and Congress.
Yeah.
To say that possibly people are flexing muscle to try and prevent that from happening again, perfectly logical in the two-party system of control that we live in, where so you're mad after 8 years, you know what you do? Vote that way.
Yeah.
And literally that's what it is. If you go through and start reading rhetoric and stuff like that from presidents that were in 8 years ago compared to now, it's almost the same. And it happens that way about every 8 years. It's wild. The parties just kind of start flip-flopping and sides start changing and stories start changing. And it's like, wow, interesting. But you really do have to pay attention to that. And it was really fun whenever we had Gray Scott on, the futurist, because one of the things he talked about was the short-term memory of people and the fact that most people's memory span for things like that do not dwell past 6 to 7 years. It's like, interesting. That really explains a lot about our political system. Mm-hmm. Whenever you start going, and I was even watching PBS yesterday, when they were talking about Biden and things like that and some of the troubles he may face, a lot of the policies that are in place now were not brought about by the current admin. They are holdovers from the previous administration.
Which was his.
Yeah. In which he was fully in charge as vice president, sat back and let things happen. This includes things like Edward Snowden, the revelations of Snowden, which have come out to be fully illegal now. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has officially declared the fact that the cell phone surveillance program that was undertaken by Bush and then used by the Obama administration to set up what is now known as PRISM under the same legal auspices. Well, if we were legally allowed to gather that data swath, we can gather all this data too, right? No, you can't. Fully illegal. Mm-hmm. They were spying on not just every single American citizen, phone calls, keystrokes, emails, but foreign agents, foreign actors, people in parliament, all kinds of stuff, parliaments across the world. So that's out. That's there now. To know that the last administration on their way out the door with their National Defense Authorization Act actively set up the Office of Anti-Propaganda Propaganda. Funded. It exists. So there's propaganda coming in? Let's make propaganda to fight it. Okay. Wasn't there a law called the Smith-Mundt Act that specifically forbade the dissemination of propaganda to the American people through news agencies? Oh, yeah, you're right. Let's rewrite Smith-Mundt. So they literally went through, rewrote the regulation that regulated news agencies not having to toe the line of the federal government and said, nah, you need to do what we say.
So this article you were reading about Biden, or show you were watching about Biden having to deal with stuff, was discussing how he's going to have to face and
he's
going
to have to face up to a lot of
this
that
trouble that
he's
he
gonna,
had caused.
It's gonna come back and bite him come election time, is what they were saying. Is a lot of people remember these things. A lot of people remember the horrible actions of the drone program. Mm-hmm. That. Once again, there were three separate whistleblowers, three, during the Obama administration. One of them was Chelsea Manning, who is now Chelsea Manning, not originally Chelsea Manning, but now Chelsea Manning, who was charged with treason, high treason, for exposing the illegal drone program, for exposing the fact that we were using illegal drone strikes.
That's how they do it.
Yeah. And in addition to that, you had Edward Snowden. And then, Julian Assange.
Oh.
Julian Assange.
Julian Assange
up along
is
the same time.
Not a U.S. citizen, though, right?
Not a U.S. citizen, but no less a whistleblower.
Sure.
No less a whistleblower, disenfranchised. If he ever stepped foot over here, he would be arrested.
Yeah, he's not coming.
Hands down.
Yeah.
And that's just it. These are all things that have yet to be answered for fully. And they're going to be brought up again.
I mean, or they won't.
Or they won't.
Here's the funny thing about all this is that they decide what to talk about. And they decide with the press what they're going to discuss and what they're going to tell us and how it's going to work out. And, you know, I mean, those people who were the whistleblowers were made to suffer for treason. And they didn't actually do anything wrong, but they're still suffering. So
no,
turns
what they
out
did
we're
was
fine with it.
What they did was actively right. So much so that they are protected.
But they're not.
But they're not.
Because good old Eddie Snowstow is still hanging out living in Russia.
Oh, no, no. He actively has Russian citizenship now and is waiting on a baby.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. So, he is not moving back.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. He has been granted full Russian citizenship.
Good, good.
And with that, it's really is just the fact that we've got to get ourselves together as people, as individuals. We have to be willing to accept other people's beliefs, period. Doesn't matter. I don't care if they're religious. I don't care if they're ethnic. I don't care if they're political. Shut your mouth and listen. Quit waiting for your turn to talk and just listen. Be willing to accept somebody's beliefs for what they are and be willing to end the conversation at finding out and going, wow, that's interesting.
The trouble is that all politics is intertwined with morality and the being American, and all of it is intertwined with being good or bad. They like to say the other side's bad and we're really good. Yeah. But in reality, we're all a bunch of villains
trying to be top villain. We're all pretty
bad. And right now, we have all been desperately hateful to each other. I mean, you've seen the internet. And it's just like, it would be nice if we were kinder to each other. I don't think that's happening soon.
Nope.
Certainly not this week.
Coming from all sides. Coming from all sides.
You know, to that end, as we sort of wrap this up with reference to the election. This election coverage is going to be throughout the week. I don't think we're going to know. As Chris mentioned earlier, there's likely to be a recount, even if they make an announcement about who wins.
Yeah.
And I just would ask everyone on all sides to not be violent with each other.
Yeah.
There has been a lot of weird stuff, and it's been getting very intense and very wild, and I just beg of you, please, just take whatever happens and try to move forward and try not to hurt other people, okay? That's what you need to do to move forward. You want America to be a better place, no matter who you're voting for? You know what's going to make America a better place? Kindness to your fellow man.
That's right.
So get her done.
Well, and, you know, that's one thing that we have been saying on this show since the beginning of COVID, since all this started, is hopefully by the end of it all, we can find a newfound realm of empathy toward each other and a newfound realm of respect for each other just as people. Mm-hmm. And when we find that, then we'll be on the right path as a country. and his families. But as we saw leading up to the election last time and for the last 4 years, America is just ready and willing to be divisive for no other good reason than to be divisive. They're willing to be angry for no other reason to be angry. And they're willing to literally hate somebody that they have not met. And before I finish that thought, let me pull this up real quick because I actively want to say it on air. I don't know how that started, but okay.
I was like, "What's your phone is jingle jangling the?"
No idea. I don't know why my phone just started doing that, but let's see here. I'm going to look up real quick. Sociopathic, because I think it's a very important term to come up with right now and to discuss.
I think sociopathic is an overused phrase.
Here's the thing, though. It's been extraordinarily used with one of the candidates up here, and I just want to read the active definition of sociopathic, and let's see. Let's bring it up from Psychology Today. Sociopathy refers to a pattern of antisocial behaviors and attitudes, including manipulation, deceit, aggression, a lack of empathy for others. Sociopathy is a non-diagnostic term. It is not synonymous with psychopathy, though the overlap leads to frequent confusion. Sociopaths may or may not break the law, but by exploiting and manipulate others, they violate the trust that the human enterprise runs on. Directly from Psychology Today, folks. And my favorite part there is the lack of empathy toward others. That's the most important part, is to not be able to empathize with your fellow man. To literally see somebody that you do not know from Adam and be angry at them because of something they believe. You do not know where they come from, what their history is, what filters with which they view the world. But for some reason, you hate them and are willing to say, "I hate that person that I have never met." That's sociopathic. You have a problem. You have a problem with empathy. You do not know how to see a person as just a person and leave it at that. And understand that you have a differing opinion. I have a differing opinion. You're out abusing people, slapping people around in the world, something like that. Let's talk. But if you're just a normal human being living your life and this is what you happen to believe, literally the concept of America is you have the right to do that. Literally. So the idea is you live your world, I'll live mine, and on occasion, those borders cross. Now what do? That's the concept. The question is, how do we get to that point? How do we get to a point where we can let other people live their life, where we can let other people in the privacy of their own homes believe what they want to believe? You cannot say it politically and then say it religiously. You can't say, like, this person's allowed to be Muslim, but then go back and say this person cannot politically believe that. You can't. They're one and the same. It is personal belief. And that personal belief is sacred. People will defend that personal belief with their life. They will defend that personal belief to the hilt, despite any fact, because it's belief. And belief goes beyond any point of proof. I am proof of that. I cannot prove to anybody in the world that I heard and felt the presence of God. That's my experience. I can share it with other people. You can choose to believe me. And when I leave the room, you could go, "Wow, what about that psycho, huh?" So be it. But that was my experience. That's the filter through which I view the world. Nobody can take that from me. Nobody can stop that. That is my belief. I hold it sacred. It is mine, despite what anybody says. And we have to learn to respect that with each other. We have to learn to understand and respect the fact that people believe differently than you. And that's okay. That's all right. We're allowed to believe something different. We're allowed to think something different. I don't care how off the rails it is. I say on this show all the time, one of the biggest conspiracy theories in the world was that the earth was round. We burned people at the stake for it. We excommunicated them for teaching it. Lo and behold, the earth is round. And we have discovered that within the last 560 years. So for the greater part of human history, we actively believed that the earth was flat. And we were okay with it. So you got to let people have their belief. That's all there is to it. You could go shout it from the rooftops all day long. You could build bonfires to it. That does not mean they're going to pay attention. It doesn't mean that they're going to follow your Pied Pipe. It doesn't mean that they're going to listen to what you're saying. All you can do is believe in you, believe in what you believe, and hold fast to that belief. That's it. Like, that's really all you can do. Nothing more. And with that, folks, Amy, thank you so much, as always, for coming on the show. Graham Phillips, thank you so much for trying to come on the show today. I wish you could have. We will have you on very, very soon to talk about the Staff of Moses, the found Staff of Moses, the Ark of the Covenant, all kinds of great stuff. Ooh. Amy, shameless self-promotion time. Tell everybody where they can go to check out Yes But Why, all that good stuff.
Oh, I'm sure you want to hear more from me. My podcast is unrelated to politics, so you don't have to listen to anything I say related politically, though. I think we talk about it a little bit. Yes But Why podcast, an interview show with artists and comedians, and it is on yesbutwhypodcast.com. You can also go to literally any platform. Anywhere you get your podcast, you should be able to find it. In fact, if there is anywhere that you go that you can't find it, let us know. We'll
yes.
make sure we get on it.
Please.
We want to be on all the platforms. So it's easy for you. You don't have to go to my website if you don't want to. I mean, I'd like to. I work pretty hard on it. It's, like, pretty nice. But if you don't want to, it's fine. Use your app. Find me. I do lots of interviews. I'm at about, 250-something. So,
yeah
we're rocking and rolling. Lots of good interviews to listen to. And thank you so much for letting me be your guest on tonight's election episode.
I know, hey. Right? It doesn't seem like it's been 4 years since the last one happened.
Yeah, but
blew my mind when I saw that the other day. And to know that we now have the raging content that we have on the internet as Dudes and Beer is fantastic. To go back and look at episodes like that where it was like, wow, we went so long that we had to restart. Because Spreaker was like, yep, you hit the max. Time for a new episode.
Yeah.
And
thankfully, this one won't be as long.
Well, not as long. And not that there wasn't some great info in that. There were five people in here talking about what was going on for hours. It was fantastic. But tonight's schedule is a little bit different. I've got an early morning show. We do not nearly have the guest lineup that we had at that one. And, yeah, that's it. It's still a great show. Still fantastic. Still some great information out there. While you're online, everybody, checking out everything from Yes But Why podcast, make sure to stop on by the Dudes and Beer podcast. Dudesandbeer.com is the website. That is where you can find all of our episodes. That's where you can find all of the videos from our guests. We have all of their YouTube channels there on our video page. So if you're looking for videos from Graham Phillips, if you're looking for videos from great people like Plug Hits Live, stuff like that, stop on by dudesandbeer.com/videos. Also, please do not forget the amazing Knowledge Vault. That is where we keep all of our great documents from declassified government programs, things like that. We will soon be having Robert Duncan on to talk about mind control technology, things like that. That's where a lot of that information is. dudesandbeer.com/knowledge is where you want to go for that. Thank you so much, everybody, as always, for tuning in. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other during this time. Take care of your families. Keep them close. Keep them dear. It's only through that that we survive to the next, folks. So until next time, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And if you can't be good at it. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer Podcast. To listen to our audio streams or chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for Android and iDevices, available on Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Breach.tv, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more about our sponsors and other podcasts on this network, visit hcuniversalnetwork.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.